Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The T-Biz podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
The T-Biz podcast and blog connect you directly to experts in the tea lands. Listen as their voices reveal the news, innovations, cultural insights, and consumer trends that most impact the industry. Paired with Tea Journey, a digital magazine for tea enthusiasts, the Tea Biz Portal is a global resource for everyone who loves tea. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Researchers link a diet that includes tea to high PFAS levels. Flavor-enhancing microbes are at the root of quality tea, and retail tea prices remain high as inflation eases. 150 years ago, tea exporters in China faced a dramatic shift in demand. It was due to a conflict on the high seas and fierce commercial competition. The emergence of India as Europe's black tea supplier disrupted almost three centuries of Chinese dominance in the world's most lucrative black tea market. China needed something new, a cream and sugar-friendly alternative to smoky old-fashioned Lapsang Souchong. The tea was Qimen, a modern marvel that rivaled Darjeeling at breakfast and the fragrant black teas of Uva that were used in Ceylon breakfast blends. Invented in 1875, the aromatic Hong Cha, or red tea, from Qimen County quickly rose to prominence, explains Lillian Shaw, one of Shanghai's first batch of senior tea masters and president of the Canada Tea Institute. She joins T-Biz to recount the legacy of a Chinese market-savvy entrepreneur, Yu Ganchen, the pioneer of Qimen black tea, who developed the processing method for Qimen black tea and expanded its sales overseas. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What makes a perfect cup of Ceylon tea? The perfect cup is from the tea businesses that ensure the protection of all the children living within their tea estates. We salute Keilani Valley, Telawakili, Bogawanthalawa, Harana, and Eliptia Tea Estates. Support Save the Children, Sri Lanka.
Researchers studying dietary patterns report a link between tea consumption and high levels of so-called forever chemicals, likely leached from tea bags and packaging. The study was financed by the U.S. National Institutes of Health and was led by chemists at the Keck School of Medicine at the University of Southern California. According to researchers, dietary changes could lower pre- and polyfluoroalkyl, PFAS, levels in the body based on testing that showed increased levels of consuming certain foods and beverages in a nationally representative sample of 725 young adults. The concentrations of PFAS were highest in those who ate out frequently and those who drank tea and consumed processed foods. Eating food at home demonstrated the opposite. Every 200-gram increase in home-prepared food showed lower levels of PFOS. A single additional serving of tea was linked to 24.8% higher levels of PFHS, a 16.2% higher level of PFHS, and a 12.6% higher PFNA level. Totals also rose among those who consume pork and hot dogs and processed meats. Researchers expressed concern that even metabolically healthy foods such as tea can be contaminated with PFAS, which is known to harm human health. Haley Hampson, a PhD candidate at the University of Southern California, told Technology Networks, quote, "Our primary hypothesis is based on a study published last year, which found that some tea bags contain PFAS. This study, conducted in India, tested 108 tea bag samples collected from the Indian market and found that 90% contained detectable PFAS concentrations," end quote. The research team is now testing popular tea brands in a follow-up study. Hampson said, quote, "We need more research on commercially available tea bags in the USA to determine the degree to which PFAS contamination in tea bags is an issue there. Based on our findings and the findings from other researchers, we are currently performing a study to test for PFAS contamination in tea bags from the U.S. market," end quote. Seafood, fruit, and vegetables, even the air you breathe, have been shown to contain microparticles of toxic polymers known to irritate lungs and cause headaches, asthma, and possibly cancers. Business Insight. A research paper published in 2019 calculated a single tea bag, when brewed in boiling water, releases up to 11.6 billion microplastics and 3.1 billion nanoplastics in a single cup. The plastics implicated were nylon and PET particles found at levels in tea, quote, several magnitudes higher, end quote, than the plastics in other foods. A 2021 study suggested that microwaving tea bags further amplifies the release of nanoparticles. Many brands have since switched to paper tea bags. Inflation is easing, but the cost of making and packing tea is higher than ever because of spiking distribution costs and rising fertilizer prices. In the UK, prices are up 6% compared to last year, but are now rising more slowly. The inflation rate for milk and tea dropped to 2.9% in December. In January 2024, tea cost 10.6% more than it did in January 2023. Last October, tea cost 15.1% more than in October 2022, according to the Office for National Statistics. Coffee is up by 9.5%, and cocoa and powdered chocolate are up by 12.3%. The sugar spiked 49.6%, according to The Guardian. Analysts are concerned that foods that normally transit the Suez Canal will be impacted, as virtually all container ships are now routed past Cape Hope, a detour that adds 10 to 14 days of transit expense. In January, the FAO Food Price Index stood at 118, down 1.2 points, which is about 1% from its December level. The index is 13.7%, which is 10% below its corresponding value 1 year ago. Eating at home and eating out continues to cost more for Americans. The U.S. Labor Department data showed restaurant prices were 5.1% higher in January than in January 2023. Grocery costs are up 1.2%. A report in the Wall Street Journal advises relief isn't likely to arrive soon. Quote, "Restaurants and food company executives say they are still grappling with rising labor costs and some ingredients, such as cocoa, and that they are only getting more expensive. In 1991, according to data from the U.S. Agricultural Department, U.S. consumers spent 11.4% of their disposable income on food. At the time, households were still dealing with steep food price increases following an inflationary period during the 1970s. More than three decades later, food spending has reattained that level, USDA data shows. In 2022, consumers spent 11.3% of their disposable income on food, according to the most recent USDA data available. Americans typically spend less than 10% of their personal disposable income on food. Next, Arvinda Anantharaman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 24th February 2024. It's budget season, and as state governments announce the budget for the upcoming financial year, the tea industry has been waiting for news on how it'll impact them. And so far, the Tamil Nadu government has announced an incentive of 2 rupees per kilo to members of the state-owned Indco cooperative in the Nilgiris. This is set to benefit about 27,000 small tea farmers attached to the Indco factories. In Assam, 130,000 houses were to be constructed as per last year's budget, and this year 10% of the houses are being earmarked for tea garden workers, and additionally, funds are being earmarked towards arrears in electricity bill payments in the tea communities. In West Bengal, the finance minister said that 2,500 acres of unused land in tea gardens has been recovered and land rights given to 23,000 workers in the Duars. The housing scheme continues to be in focus with land rights and funds for house construction included. Also, 5 tourism projects on 40 estates in the region have been approved. In other news, the Hindu Business Line reported that the barter agreement between Iran and Sri Lanka continues this year, which means India will see a loss in the Iran market for tea. In 2023, India's tea shipment to Iran decreased from 54.45 million kilos seen in 2019 to 6 million. This is because of a barter between Iran and Sri Lanka to settle the latter's oil debt of $250 million for fuel purchases made in 2012. And this agreement will continue all the way till September 2027. Lastly, a study published in the Plant Beverage Research Journal reveals that there are new traits to the Camellia sinensis assamica varietal, and this is seen in research conducted by researchers from both India and China, who've been using S&P markers and population genetics tools. They have found that the Assam tea is unique in several aspects, and what is grown in Assam as assamica tea plant is different from the same varietal grown in Yunnan. And this new understanding presents new possibilities and a new hybrid within Assam tea that could well increase yield and be more climate resistant.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, I'm Bogdan, a passionate tea drinker and the inventor of the ultimate tea machine, the Brewmaker One. Preparation is key to making fine tea. Sequential steepings deliver the best taste possible and unlock the true value of whole leaf teas and botanicals. Brew automates that process without using any pots or capsules. This simple-to-operate smartphone-controlled device stores steeping profiles to consistently make great tea at the push of a button. Brew also reduces time, waste, and energy. That's because I engineered the brew to remember control settings for temperature, brewing time, and quantity. Using my patented process lets you stack steeps simply and conveniently.
150 years ago, tea exporters in China faced a dramatic shift in demand. It was due to a conflict on the high seas and fierce commercial competition. The emergence of India as Europe's black tea supplier disrupted almost three centuries of Chinese dominance in the world's most lucrative black tea market. China needed something new, a cream and sugar-friendly alternative to smoky old-fashioned Lapsang Souchong. The tea was Kemum, a modern marvel that rivaled Darjeeling at breakfast and the fragrant black teas of Uva that were used in Ceylon breakfast blends. Invented in 1875, the aromatic Hong Cha, or red tea, from Kemun County quickly rose to prominence, explains Lillian Shaw, one of Shanghai's first batch of senior tea masters and president of the Canada Tea Institute. She joins TBiz to recount the legacy of a Chinese market-savvy entrepreneur, Yu Gangchen, the pioneer of Qimen Black Tea, who developed the processing method for Qimen Black Tea and expanded its sales overseas. Lillian Shaw grew up in Shanghai, China, a region that has been the commercial hub of tea export for centuries. In China, tea artists are certified by local government officials who test their competency. Lillian is among the first batch of senior tea masters and became the instructor at Shanghai Tea Institute and, simultaneously, the chief evaluator at the Shanghai Municipal Bureau of Labor. She helped compile the textbook Senior Tea Artist and lectures widely. She and her staff in Canada offer a 7-level curriculum for adults and teens. The organization, she says, quote, is committed to popularizing tea knowledge, using tea as a link to strengthen cultural exchange among all ethnic groups, all classes, and all ages, end quote. The society hosts educational tea parties, tea-themed activities, and tastings, including a public introduction to Runsi Qihong Qimen Tea, sponsored by Anhui Gorum Tea Company. Lillian and I met at the Toronto Tea Festival in January. Thank you so much for joining us on the Tea Biz podcast.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, Dan.
When I saw that you were pouring Qimen at the Tea Festival, I had to stop by. Hongcha is experiencing a revival in China as millions line up daily for their milk tea. The Qimen has a special place in the story of black tea as it is the first modern market-driven tea. Tea fragrance has always appealed to tea drinkers. Jasmine is one of the oldest and remains the most famous of all scented teas globally. But the European royalty and upper-class preference for milk and sugar, crumpets, and dainties limited sales of green tea, creating an opening that Qimen quickly filled. Will you share the history of this fascinating tea?
First of all, probably I would like to talk a little bit about the history of black tea, especially Qimen, become a kind of tea, which is when it is invented, it is specifically to meet the needs of Westerners. Because we know that at the later Qin Dynasty, which is around 1650 or 17, most of them is from Wuyi Mountain, which is in Fujian province, which is a south province in China. So the Wuyi tea has been exported as the representative of Chinese tea. So at that time, most of the Wuyi tea is agreed as green tea. Actually, it's not black tea, but until 1875, there is a tax officer called Yu Gancheng, so Mr. Yu. He is a tax officer there in Fujian province, and he dealing a lot with tea groups there, tea exported there, and he knows this is a large quantity, which is tea exported to Wuyi tea exported to Western at that time. That time is around 1875. So he then, unfortunately, has been dismissed by emperor. So he go back to Anhui province, Jiangxi province. They are very close to his hometown. Then he said, why not? Because the hometown also has tea trees. And he understood that in a nice environment, in a very good environment, you can get good teas. So he said, why not using the hometown tea trees has the same process with the Wuyi black tea. So we can make those black teas. We can also sell to the to Western. That's why he is making this Qimen tea. Qimen is actually a name of the area. is name of a location there in China. So that's why he invent that specific process of Kimun tea in 1875. And what he copied is the process of Wuyi black tea. And there is a very famous Wuyi black tea at that time is Lam San Xiu Chong. So Zheng San Xiao Zhong, that is in Chinese pronunciation, but I think in English probably pronounces Lam San Xiu Chong. So actually he copied a kind of process, which is of Lam San Xiu Chong and black tea in Wuyi area, then invented Kimun tea. He really understand what the needs of the Western people, such as like you see the Kimun black teas, they are not as good as Kung Fu black teas. Nowadays, you see most of China black teas is like a whole piece, but back to that time, and you can see even now the Kimun black tea has been cutting. It's not a whole piece when one of the procedure is cutting. So that brings the Kimun tea a stronger taste.
The strong trade between China and the UK that dated to 1664 and in a rocky period beginning in 1839 through 1842, as the first gardens were planted in Assam and Darjeeling, and again in 1856 and 60, when victory in the Second Opium War gave Western powers unfettered access to Chinese products. Kimun marketers understood that winning competitions in the West and celebrity endorsements by royalty would appeal to Europeans and tea drinkers in North America.
He was quite familiar with the tea growers and the tea importers from Western in Fujian province in Fuzhou City. So he actually contacted them and to sell those tea to Western. Then he keep on to marketing this because the Kimun black tea, when the period of Kimun black tea, actually there's already got the Indian black teas and Sri Lanka black teas. So what he did is the Kimun black tea actually is more actively to looking for the international market or world market. So they join, one of the cases, they joined the competition in 1915 in Panama International Exposition. And in that exposition, Kimun black tea was competed with Indian black teas and the Sri Lanka black teas, and finally win the gold medal and be the number one, and which is being really renowned by the Westerns, including the British, the Queen, and the royal family become the royal afternoon tea menu. And at that time, the Queen and the royal families are giving the Kimun black tea a really good appreciate and give it a name such as the hero of the tea, the best of the fragrance, those names, so which makes Kimun black tea quite famous at that time. Then it has been exported to Britain, brought to America as well.
The tea was so popular that Kimun became the main component in English breakfast blends. In 1879, more than 70% of tea sold in London was from China. By 1900, China's market share at the London tea auction had declined to 10%. But even then, the most popular Ceylon and Indian blends of Assam weren't considered complete without at least 10 to 12% Kimun. Early mass market blends, including Lipton and Twinings, featured African teas to give color. Blenders added Assam tea for astringency. Why was Kimun so popular?
Kimun black tea is popular because its characteristics, like for the aroma, very unique aroma, because the aroma is combined with the floral note, the fruity note, and the honey sweet. So it's very special. Until even now, when we distinguish if this black tea is Kimo black tea or not Kimo black tea, we were looking for the Kimo aroma. So what we call the Kimo aroma. So what is Kimo aroma? That is the combination and the balance of the floral note, fruity note, and the honey sweet.
Tea masters undertake a fascinating process to create that aroma.
Yes, the process, which is starting from weathering, then rolling, then fermentation, then drying. I mean, those are the uniform process of black tea. But how come it to get out this very unique Kimo aroma? That has been, I think, mainly two reasons. So the tea tree breed and where does it plant? You see, if this plant in the proper place, which is in Kimon, Dongzhi, Shitai, those what we call the coal tea gardens, with the local tea tree breed, we call it Zhuye Zhong. So these two main reasons make this tea with these aroma. But another very important, I can say, a critical steps for Kimon to gain this aroma is because when in the process, also it is also doing the fermentation and experience the fermentation and the drying. However, when it is drying, especially because Kimon black teas has two drying process. One is a high temperature to bring out all those most of the moistures. Then it goes through the lower temperature drying, which is only 30 degrees. Now, then that low temperature drying process, then it develops those aromas. We know that all those tea breeds, all those tea trees has very complex and hundreds those aromatic compounds. And for Kimon tea and the lower temperature drying facilitates the development of those aroma compounds. So it will bring out those grass aromas and make the tea, which is like a floral or orchid floral aromas, being a obvious character of the Kimon tea. So it helps to preventing violate compounds that could be degraded at high temperature, because some aroma compounds will be degraded or ruined by high temperature. So that's why I think the low temperature drying is one of the very important skills and techniques to develop this Kimon aroma.
One of the reasons Kimon is so important to the traditional Assam and Sri Lanka blended breakfast teas is because they are fired at a high temperature in a furnace, which drives off aromatic compounds. Kimon adds a distinctive and pleasant aroma as you pour the hot water.
Yes, Kimon aroma becomes very unique. As I said, when you distinguish if it's Kimon tea, actually Kimon black tea is also very unique among all those Chinese black teas. I do know there are more than hundreds of black teas, Kung Fu black teas in China, but the Kimon always keep the number one and it's very, very unique. So people can say it is Kimon black tea or is not Kimon black tea is because of its unique aroma.
Will you tell listeners a little more about Runsi Kuihang Kimon tea brand? I was very impressed tasting the tea at the Toronto Tea Festival, and so were the many others crowded around your booth.
The Kimon black tea that we bring to Canada now is from, it used to be state-owned companies, and also the biggest one, it is called Boren Tea Company Limited. And we know that Kimon tea is invented by Mr. Yu Gancheng, as I just said, in the end of Qing Dynasty, which is 1875, around that date, around that year. And so the Guorun Tea Company was the predecessor before the Republic of China, People's Republic of China in 1949. And there are those private tea houses. One of them is the Yuganchang Tea House. The later on, in 1950, China established those tea factories, which is state-owned tea factories in Guizhi, and combined and merged those private tea house for set up those new machines, tea machines. Because in the history of Chinese tea, it mainly divided into before the new China, which is People's Republic of China, and after, which is 1949 or after 1949. So before 1949, they are mainly for handmade private right. tea house, small to medium scale size and handmade. But afterwards, after 1949, around 1950, not only in Anhui, which is the Kinmen tea area, but also some other tea factories in China all around, they start to set up the tea factories, like modern tea factories, with machines. Around 2003, 2005, the Chinese tea factories also experienced another important reformation, which is from the state-owned to the company limited, and become the biggest tea company with especially for Kinmen black tea. So we know that it even the factories always producing the diplomatic gift teas for those our diplomatic guests, such as the Prime Minister Lady Sachel from Britain, or the Queen Elizabeth from Britain at that time. So nowadays, Runsi Tea Company is growing as the biggest Kinmen black tea company. It has 12 EU certified tea gardens and also enjoy the title of National Standard Kinmen Black Tea Base in China. So as Kinmen tea, black tea is frequently choosing as diplomatic gifts. It's also from Runsi Company, Guorun Company. The brand is Runsi. So we know most of the tea, we say the highest grade is premium. But only for Kinmen tea, the highest grade is not premium. Above that, there is another grade is called gift on top of premium. That's why we have this gift grade is because Kinmen black tea always being chosen as a national diplomatic gift.
That's a prestigious role. According to the China Tea Marketing Association, 7,300 metric tons of Kinmen tea are produced on 12,600 hectares of land. The tea is primarily for export, generating 5.52 billion won, about 808 million in U.S. dollars annually. Will you explain the role that growers play in this process?
In China, most is like farmers will contract their tea land, their land growing teas to the factory or enterprise. If you want to become a tea manufacturer, the first thing is you're looking for some land and talking with the farmers there and contract with them for long term, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years. And to with this contract, then the farmers will pick up the fresh leaves, and all those fresh leaves will belong to the factory, but the farmers still need to pick it, and they get a labor, the money of labor. Besides, they get the contract money. So this is the way in China what they do.
Thanks for explaining that. Let's talk about the Institute, the Canada Tea Institute.
We created the Canada Tea Institute is established in 2017, and it is a not-for-profit organization. We mainly want to improve the tea culture and the tea education, and also we are trying these days, we are trying to improve the economic development of tea as well. So most of our members are tea professionals and tea enthusiasts. We also have our guiding principle. They are traditional spirits of tea masters, such as harmony, humble, genuine, and eco. Those are four guiding principles of our institute. What we do is we organizing tea-related events and activities, tea master training programs, sometimes study trips. We organize study trips to China, and hopefully we can organize study trips to other tea growing countries such as Japan or some other countries later on. And also, it's already been 6 years. So we've been organized more than, I think, 100 tea themed events. So a lot of them. And we would like to, what we want to do is to make the Canadian tea market is more vital and with more diverse and more active.
I was pleased to see all the young people at your booth.
I really found a lot of people in different ages. They are interested in tea, and I was surprised that there were so many of them. And the young people, I can say from my own, because I am currently is giving tea courses to tea courses. So I will feel the young people, they are more interested into it. Which means they might do not know too much about the tea compared with experienced tea lovers, but they choose a high interesting of tea. They want to know what it is, or what's the culture behind it, and what are the different, they're interested to many things, not only for like the tea categories, this tea and that tea, how to infuse, what it did to taste, those physical things. But they also pay attention to what behind that, the tea culture, what makes it, why we will drink it, why we drink tea like that, those cultural things, and how do we brew it, what tea, even what the tea wears, will match this tea, such as like for Kimun tea, black teas, usually we use a teapot in China, or a gaiwan, which is a coverable cup, something like that. But for green teas, I also having some green teas and flower teas, and they will see, they will like a glass, which is translucent, they can see this tea inside of it. So they interesting about how to brew it or what's the culture. I think it's very, very amazing. I mean, usually because probably like 10 years ago or even 7 years ago, we see most of the tea lovers have some, they love teas because they are like 40 years old or 50 years old. They love teas, but young people, they were like, coffee and other Coca-Cola, those drinks, the fast drinks as well. But now I see it maybe is because milk tea, I should say. You see all those bubble teas and milk teas. So tea has been engaged to the young people's life as a kind of drink, as a kind of daily drink. Then from the bubble tea, they will pay attention to this is green tea, this is black tea, this is oolong tea. Then they want seeking for deeper, seeking for more information of the black teas or different teas, straight teas. Then I think it's good. Yeah.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of T-Biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the T-Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.